right. Thank you, Mr. Park. That makes my presentation of Judge Niebuhr easy. A couple of things I work on the petunia too. Second thing is I also try to do the functional analysis on on some genes. So my presentation is more talk about a different approach to doing functional gene analysis. And so probably most people know it's easy to identify so many genes, right? And for Ms. Park's project, 366 genes up and down, and transcription factor is 45. And how can you quickly analyze the gene function? And that's the challenge for most people, I think, in the audience and we are facing. So one of the approach we're using is called the virus-induced gene silencing. And so I want to emphasize this is a technology, developed like 20 or 15 years ago and used quite often in the model plants. And the good thing is it's a high throughput of the tool for studying gene functions. And also, this technology does not require stable transformation. I want to emphasize this, does not require transformation. And that's a good thing for the people who work on the non-model system, especially in a non-model system. And the other thing is, once you inoculate this, the vector is easy to see the phenotype as short as 1 week in our hands, and then we can see it. Okay. Again, any technology has a weakness. And this is something we're facing. And one of them is it does work for most crops, and it depends on the vector you use. And sometimes even they use the same vector and the same crops, and it depends the genetic background. And so so the efficiency is sometimes very low. And it's hard to sometimes, you see a phenotype, sometimes see it, and sometimes you don't. So the question here is, how can I improve the efficiency of virus-induced gene silence? And so my lab is using tobacco rotavirus vector to study gene function in petunia, and tomatoes. Sometimes I work on the roses as well. So and tobacco rotavirus includes RNA1, RNA2, and that's and RNA1 is basically the most important is the movement protein. And RNA2 contains the code protein and plus, and this is the model cloning side. If you're interested in any genes, you can just clone the fragment as short as one in our hand, 128 base pairs for PDS phytoinsaturase. And of course, most people use 300 or 500 base pairs, okay? And you can clone multiple genes in tandem repeats, and in some cases we clone 5 genes and try to target different the gene family members, and you can down-regulate the 5 genes at the same time, okay? So at the beginning we tested this virus-induced gene silence in petunias, and the variety we use is called V26, and that's probably if people work on petunia, you probably know this is a laboratory strain, and most people use it. The reason we use this 26, V26, is the flowers are purple, and so we can silence the color gene as an indicator, and this we use it called the trichon synthase, which is the anthocyanin biosynthesis genes. And so if you silence this one, turn down this one, you will see purple flower into white, and so basically you turn off this gene, they cannot produce anthocyanin, and that's turn white, okay? To our surprise, at the beginning we tested V26, the phenotype is not desirable. Actually, you see, it's only the mosaic, sometimes some sections turn white, sometimes don't. So, and later on, we test different hybrid and with all these purple flowers. And we can see here, we use trichon synthase as a marker. And you can, once you silence trichon synthase, CHS, your purple flower, in some varieties, you see complete white petals. And this is very, very good. And again, you also see some variety does not show a good phenotype. So the take-home message here is the virus gene, virus VIX is under genetic control. There's some genetic component here influence the efficiency of virus-induced gene silence. To start this question, we use this, again, use the tobacco rotavirus and include the trichome synthase. At the same time, we also include the gene, which, our hypothesis here is, if the transcription factors are involved in the control virus gene silence or not. And so, again, Ms. Park also mentioned, it's regulatory genes. If you turn off the gene, that will affect the whole pathway. That's the idea. Okay. So, if you, in the normal situation, we most in particular variety, we choose this prime time brew. We know it works very well in our laboratory. Okay. We get, almost most of the time get white flowers. And so, if you put the trichome synthase and tandemly link to another gene, which in this case we focus on the transcription factors. And so in the normal situation, if the transcription factor does not affect on the gene silence, okay, you will see in this normal situation you see white. And it's the negative selection here. So we hypothesize if this transcription factors has anything to do with the virus gene silence, that will affect the efficiency. In this case, you don't see the white pattern. It's called the negative selection here. Okay. So by doing that, we systemically study about 120 transcription factors and look at the upregulated genes. Okay. So we identify two transcription factors. One is BZIP type. Okay, the other one is ethnic response factors. So today I'm only focusing on one of them that's called BZIP type. And so, like I say, if you're in a normal situation, you inoculate this a construct, you most cases you will expect white. Okay, but for some reason, anytime we include this the fragment into that trichome synthase vector, we never see white petal. And that makes us wondering, okay, what's going on here? Okay. So we know this, the genes encode for BZIP type transcription factor. And we look at the rhabdopsis, there's a small group called S group. So about five members in a rhabdopsis. And we will also identify similar genes, homologs from petunias. And so again, it's negative results. It's difficult to confirm. So we want to make sure the phenotype is really reproducible or not. So we did a couple of things here. One is target different regions, 3' A, 5', A, make sure we get the same non-white phenotype. Second thing is we want to make sure the gene, and so use two different reporter systems. One is called, like I say, it's trichome synthase. The other one is phytoin desaturase. This one's affect the leaf phenotype. So we might want to make sure we see both at the same, don't have any phenotype, and even you use two different reporter systems. Another thing we want to make sure the gene, so phenotype is gene dependent or sequence dependent. So we silence similar gene in this S group. And this is the results here. So with a double genes PDS trichome synthase, without the transcription factors, you see clearly early stages, you see the white photobridging phenotype, which suggests that the phytoin desaturase is downregulated. Okay? And then later on, you see that the same plants produce white flowers. So suggest both genes are down-regulated. But if you include this fragment, the one fragment from OBF1, this is the BZIP type transcription factor, this fragment one in the 5' N, and the fragment two is from 3' N, both cases, we don't see any phenotypes. either early stage or later flower stages. It's a confirmation here. And then we test different genes in that S group. So this is the BZ44. Maybe just go back to earlier here. So 44 is this group. BZ-OBF1 is here. Okay, we test all this, you know, the four genes here. Okay, the 44, it's behave normally, means we see both phenotypes, phytodesaturase, as well as trichome synthase produce phenotypes here. And then the BZ11, this is BZ1 and BZ53. So that's the same S group. They produce phenotypes. Means we see phytodesaturase phenotype as well as trichome synthase phenotype. So suggested the non-white, the petal phenotypes is due to silence or BZ-OBF1. This is gene-specific events. Okay, there's non-function redundancy in that group, we suggested. Okay. So to further study the function of this OBF1, we also generated down-regulated transgenic plants using RNAi, as well as overexpression. I mean, this is just the confirmation we down-regulated this OBF1. We select the three transgenic lines, and we see down-regulated about 80%. And we try to confirm this, use these transgenic plants, see whether we can produce similar phenotype or not. So we inoculated the PDS. In this case, because of these transgenic plants, we don't have to include that fragment now. Okay, so we don't see any white compared to the control. That's just the more control and aptitude vectors. So we don't see any fuller bridge phenotype. It's further confirmation, validation here. So we also overexpress this OBF1, and which select again three independent transgenic lines and range from 2-4 to almost 3-4 increase in the transgenic lines. Again, try to make sure the phenotype, you can repeat these things. Okay, so in this case, because you overexpress this OBF1, so suppose you see a clear PDS phenotype, either same level or enhanced, but it's at least similar phenotype here. Okay. So the big question we really try to ask is what OBF1 regulated? Whether the OBF1 regulates particular components in the virus gene silence pathway or not. We will know from our rhabdopsis there's quite a few proteins very critical in these pathways. And that's we'll pick up the three type of proteins here. One is iron-dependent iron polymerase, and the other one is the dice-like protein. The other one is AGO. So all very, very critical in these pathways. And so far, nobody really studied the transcription regulation, how this regulate these three proteins. So we look at the gene expression use the transgenic lines, either overexpressing the genes or downregulate the OBF1. This is just a silenced one. We test the RNA depending on polymerase 1, 2, and 6. You can see that 1 and 2, you see the downregulation in the transgenic plants. Okay. And for dice-like protein, dice-like 1, 2, 3, and 4. And most obvious one is dice-like 1 and 2. 3 is the same. 4 just a little bit, it's because the scale is a little bit different. Okay. And suggest that, but if you downregulate this OBF1, and that will affect on the expression of dice-like 1 and 2. AGO1, AGO2, so also particular AGO2 is downregulated. Okay, so then we look at the overexpression line, where they can find the similar or just the consistent here. Okay, so we also measure the expression in the overexpression line for RDR1, RDR2, DR6. The same situation here. In the on islands, you downregulate, you see downregulation with this RDI1, RDI2. In this case, it's the over expression one. You're supposed to you expect that, a high expression for RDI1, RDI2. Indeed, we do see enhanced expression RDI1, RDI2. And for DICE-like protein, there's two of them, it's really highly upregulated. And the same, it's consistent with the anti-RNA results, okay? And for AGO1, we do see high expression for AGO2 in this overexpression one. So suggest, this is whether, you modulate OBF1, you affect the components in the virus-induced gene silence pathway. So just summarize this point. Parts. So we understand, and so we have evidences. So if we knock down or overexpression OBF1, that will directly influence the expression the RDR1 and 2, DICE-like 1 and 2, or AGO2 in the virus-induced gene silence pathway. That may affect the efficiency of virus-induced gene silence. So another question we try to ask is whether this is the OBF1 play any role in the prime defense against other virus or not. So we use TMV as an example to test here. And that's on a line, and this all expression line, this is all three independent lines. And so we not inoculate TMV and see whether we see any phenotype or virus symptom or not. Okay, so you see, for RNAi line, the order changing line showed severe phenotype here. Okay, and we tested the tobacco TMV, the cold protein, which just so as an indication whether it's really this phenotype is related to the virus, whether the virus replicated or not here. So as we expected. And so in RNAi line, you do see very, very high expression of cold protein. And then over expression on the other side, and you see very, very low cold protein expression. So it suggests that this OBF1 might play a significant role against other virus. So, and one of them we really try to look at is whether the genes induced by any other factors or not. And this is look at the expression, OBF1 expression when we treat the primes with different, the ethylene implant hormone or ABA or GA salicylic acid or any environmental conditions or not. Well, the idea here is if you can induce the OBF1 expression, that will modulate the gene efficiency of virus-induced gene silence. So, and that's the idea. So, and then we look at the expression. So the OBF1 is significantly induced by salicylic acid, ethylene, ABA, and the coal. And that's just the coal, okay. And I might run out of time, just summarize the talk here. So we identify a key transcription factor, OBF1. And that will regulate the key components in the virus-induced gene silence and leads to the virus-induced silence phenotype. Okay, and if you want to, the suggestion here is, if you want to, have a high efficiency of virus-induced gene silence, you could, process. You can either treat the inoculated plant with ethylene or salicylic acid or put in the coal. And that will induce the OBF1 that in the end you probably see the high efficiency. And that's a suggestion. We'll still test this hypothesis right now. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, the question is, when do we inoculate the plants and in order to see the phenotype? So we test different inoculation stages. You can test, in our hand, we use like, you know, 4 or 5 leaf stages, about 2 weeks or 3 weeks that, you know, inoculate on the leaves. When we test with using tomato as model, we use seedling and do just use a high pressure to the inoculation. And that works very well, actually. And remember, tobacco rotavirus actually is a nematode-based virus. It's they prefer getting into roots, actually. You know, that's the thing. You know. To answer your question, is we normally use 4 to 5 leaf stages plants inoculate at that time. So we wait for 5 or 7 weeks, and then we see the white phenotype. If you maintain the at the right conditions, well, I mean the right condition means. Right condition, right now we use 18 and a 9, 22 to 23 and a 8 day. And that, you know, so the virus depends, you know, if you, most people, some other people use just 22 degree all the way. That's fine. I mean, you know, depends on the plants. Sometimes we test the gladiolus, we use very, very low temperature, 18 all the way. And that also, you see the phenotype. Yeah. That's an excellent question. Actually, you know, if you look at the, they're not broadly affect, you know, the whole pathway or the whole the RDR, okay, the 6 genes there. We only look at the specifically only detect the 2 genes, okay. And for that's like also, it's not broadly affected, all the size like. So that's one thing. The second thing is, we do see more other phenotypes, okay, that suggest the OBF1 regulated some other steps. Okay. The third thing is that we don't know whether it affects other microRNA generation or not. We're doing that and just, you know, try to sequence the microRNA in the transgenic plants. That's a good question. Yeah. Yeah. Good question. So this is a come to the how this direct targets, right? You know, it's a downstream direct target. We're in a process to identify direct targets. We look at the promoter for in a region. Hopefully, we identify 6 elements. It's not that easy. You can easily identify, you know, so many different 6 elements, and that it still doesn't prove it. You know, so we have to do EMCA or some other, you know, way to, or, you know. The thing is, right now, we think that, you know, it's indirect affect this pathway. So what I mean is, we look at the salicylic acid accumulation in the transgenic plants, we see huge differences. Well, that makes sense, okay. Salicylic acid actually triggers this, you know, the whole pathways, you know. So, again, this is a preliminary data, and we also look at the other potential targets right now, and suggest there's a very complicated system there. There's additional few of them. We think that probably in the early target. Yeah. Thank you.